Jonathan Cho, journalist with the Discovery Institute, used to be with Como News. He covers the homelessness and crime issues in Seattle, which means he's a very busy person most of the time. He joins us now. Jonathan, how are you?
Hey, Kirby. Great to hear from you again.
Thanks. Good to have you. Thank you, by the way, for everything you do out there. I follow you on X/Twitter, and you're telling stories that need to be told that nobody else seems to be covering. I wanted to ask you about Situation Redmond. I think you're familiar with it. Last night, the Redmond City Council approved building a six-story homeless hotel, lodging, however you want to refer to it, on a half acre of land in downtown Redmond without any public notice or any public input. They knew it was coming because the city of Redmond said years ago, we're going to do this with this land. But it seems to me they snuck in the middle of the night to do it without any public input. Your thoughts on what they did?
Yeah, well, that's pretty much exactly what's happening here right now. It's still in the early stages, but last night, the city of Redmond voted 5-4 in favor of a quote-unquote land transfer, essentially giving Plymouth Housing, an extremely controversial homeless housing provider in the region, a multi-million dollar property on prime real estate in downtown Redmond. Now, the council also had the option to lease this out, but they chose to simply give it away with the hopes of building permanent supportive housing. And here's the real kicker here. Again, everyone is talking about the need for more affordable housing in the region, and there is no doubt that needs to happen. But the way they're trying to get around some of the concerns here is they're using language like permanent supportive housing, low barrier. What that means essentially is that the homeless residents who will be filling this 100-unit, six-story apartment building will be drug addicts. They'll be struggling with mental illness. And those folks need a place to go. But the concern in question now is why in the heart of a dense part of the downtown core in Redmond? That's what a lot of the residents are asking right now. And again, there are a lot of politics behind the scenes. And right now, the city of Redmond, the leadership, especially Mayor Angela Burney, is getting slammed because of the lack of community input in this land transfer process. Keep in mind, this very same proposal by Plymouth Housing was rejected in Kenmore just last month. And so the city of Kenmore took more than a year to process all of this information, and this progressive council voted to keep it out of their downtown core, yet the city of Redmond does this in less than a month. It's just really stunning right now.
Yeah, I'm reading some of the news reports. There was a memorandum from the mayor of the city council saying that 100% of the residents will have a documented disability, as if trying to get a sympathy vote, if you will. But doesn't documented disability include, as you mentioned, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, mental health issues? Aren't those disabilities?
You hit it right on the head. According to the CDC, drug addiction is a disability. And that's the spin. Kirby, I hate to say this, but this is, the failed housing first model. This is a strategy that's been around at the federal level for more than a decade now. And if it was working, I would say let's double down. Let's keep on putting money into it. But when homelessness, not only in King County and in Seattle and the entire, state of Washington, but this country now, going up in America, it's up 12%, 650,000 people, including veterans, women and children. This housing first strategy just isn't working. And what they're saying is, hey, if you give somebody an apartment or studio and put them in there, they'll suddenly get better from their addiction or their, mental health crisis. But the problem with this strategy, and this is the key, Kirby, a reminder to your audience, no one is required to get any treatment. There are no strings attached. So what we're essentially doing is warehousing people out of sight, out of mind. But the reality is a lot of their problems, the fear is it will spill back into the community, especially now this downtown Redmond core.
Well, you said out of sight, out of mind, and I'm thinking, I know Redmond very well. I lived in Redmond for years. Downtown Redmond was where we went for dinner and for shopping. They used to have a Value Village there, which we did a lot of shopping at. Great thrift store. So I know exactly where this is going. And you say out of sight, out of mind, but I'm thinking, okay, you're going to have 100 people, many of them with mental health issues, drug addiction, alcohol issues, in the middle of downtown, not far from the light rail station, which I don't think Sound Transit exercises fare enforcement very much. So you're going to have transportation in and out. You're going to have businesses and jobs right there with these people mingling. In my mind, it's the exact wrong place to put this for both them who need the help and the treatment and the people who are going to be impacted by it.
Yeah, and let me just simply add, is, you know, the pitch is 100 units, but each one of those units, in theory, could house up to two people. And Plymouth Housing was very clear about that. So let's just assume, you know, it's going to be more than 100 residents. And what I meant by out of sight, out of mind is the hope is, instead of, again, dealing with the root causes of homelessness, like the drug addiction, the mental illness, and the broken relationships, they think simply shoving people into an apartment building will solve all of that, and that's not going to be the case. And you're absolutely right. We know this area very well here on the east side. Redmond, home to Microsoft, one of the most valuable companies in the world right now, along with all of this commerce that's expected with Sound Transit. I mean, it is just right now a recipe for a potential disaster with maybe more crime, open-air drug use spilling out into the community.
Yeah. Now, Plymouth Housing has a reputation, and we have experience with them. Correct me if I'm wrong, but several years ago, at a Plymouth Housing facility in Belltown, one of their staff was murdered by one of the inhabitants of the building. Was that Plymouth Housing, the incident I'm thinking of?
Great memory, Kirby. And I covered that story. It was at the Lewiston Scargo in Belltown. And sadly, one of their workers was killed by a resident who was struggling with a mental illness at the time. And, you know, I've personally gone into the Lewiston Scargo, and quite frankly, it is an absolute disaster once you go inside. And I'm glad I'm on right now to just let your audience know that's going to be my next piece. I'm going to be showing what's really happening inside many of these housing first situations at Plymouth Housing. But again, Lewiston Scargo is just one example. But there are so many of these now popping up in the city and the region. The question is, why in these dense areas? The politicians will say, hey, we need to have, you know, give the homeless access to their jobs, to stores, to their families. But that doesn't jive. That makes no sense at all. When in fact, I believe that a lot of these folks should be housed outside of the urban core so they can get better first before they can sort of come back in to mainstream society.
I would think at the very least, they should be close to social services. And that was one of the arguments in the very beginning of this, Jonathan, 10 or 12 years ago, of putting them downtown. Because downtown, you had access to social services, you had access to public transit, you had easy access to commercial facilities for those that were able to do that. They could get on the bus to go to work, there were jobs around, and yet placing them downtown Seattle didn't seem to help the problem. And now we're placing them in a suburb when I doubt there are any social services within 5 miles of this facility that these people with alcohol problems, mental problems, drug problems have access to. I don't think they're in downtown Redmond, are they?
Nope. And you're right again, Kirby. And that's the problem with these housing first situations. No one is required to get treatment or services. They only do it when they're ready. But if you ask most drug addicts, you know, will they say they're ready to get treatment? No, you're going to need an intervention in most cases to get them well. Mm-hmm. So again, the problem is these low barrier housing first situations allow drug use. And in many cases, they're going to be given the harm reduction supplies, the meth pipes, the fentanyl test strips, the needles to do drugs in or around the premises.
Yeah. And I don't think the business people in downtown Redmond really know what's coming, what it's going to look like. I mean, it'll take a year or two to build, I suspect, and it may take another 6 months to fill it. But what downtown Redmond will look like 2 years from now with this facility is radically different than what downtown Redmond looks like today.
Yeah, there's going to be a ferocious fight, no doubt. You know, at last night's council meeting, I was there, it was packed, and that's rare for a Redmond City Council meeting. And I think, you know, depending who you ask, many will accuse the council and Mayor Angela Burney of knowing this, that this was all by design, counting on the lack of community engagement so they can quietly slip this in. But now this is on everyone's radar. So there are coalitions forming. They're looking for legal measures and channels to stop this from coming in. So this is going to be an ongoing story. And like I said earlier, this is just the beginning phases, and we'll see what happens if it even makes it to that point. But it's going to be at least a couple years before this thing ends up going up.
Yeah, I suspect with city council races coming up next year, because they're in the odd year, this could be a relatively hot issue. When Redmond really hasn't had hot issues in city races, this could be. And we could have a whole new council in 2 to 4 years because of this. Because I think people will become aware. They'll understand. They'll see what's going to happen. And they'll try to prevent it. And if the council doesn't, then they'll get a new council. I suspect it'll keep the community busy for quite some time. Jonathan,
yeah, and that's why I'm saying people busy go? Too. This is my beat.
Oh, I know. Oh, no, listen. You picked the right place and the right beat if you want to keep busy. Because something tells me in the Northwest, in the Seattle, in King County, this issue has a lot of gas left and is nowhere near being resolved or dealt with. And you're going to have a role to play for a very long time. And I'm just really thankful that you're there. Where do people go to hear and see Jonathan Cho aside from Ari's show?
Yeah, well, again, most of my work is at fixhomelessness.org. And you can catch a lot of my work also on, you know, pretty much every social media channel, but primarily X, at Cho Show, at C-H-O-E-S-H-O-W.
Yep. I just got back on X after being off for several years. Decided I should be back on. And I am shocked, to be honest, Jonathan, that between the people that are supporting Hamas and want to kill all the Jews and the people of Donald Trump, that's 50% of Twitter right now. And then we've got you and a few other brave souls talking about issues that need to be talked about. But I got to tell you, there are so many Palestinian bots out there. It's hard to get through the chaff sometimes. But your stuff is worth it.
X is the town square for a reason. So you'll find everything under the sun there.
Yes, it is. And I am very thankful that Elon bought it and it's useful that way. But you got to wade through a lot of the junk before you get to the meat. And you are definitely part of the meat on X. So, folks, if you're not on X, formerly known as Twitter, you should be. Paul Jonathan. Jonathan, again, thank you. And be safe out there. And God bless you for what you do.
Hey, thanks for amplifying this, Kirby. Take care.
You bet. Whatever we can do. Thank you.